Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to share some very important truth this morning. During this Christmas season, we often rehearse the events surrounding the birth of Christ. But I want to focus in on one aspect of this wonderful living story. And we're going to go some 800 plus years before Jesus was born and share some things that Isaiah saw and spoke about by the Holy Spirit. And we'll start in chapter 9. Of course, we all remember in chapter 7, it's told that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. But notice chapter 9, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 9, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Now, obviously, this is a reference to the Messiah and what he would accomplish through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. But notice verse 6 in Isaiah chapter 9. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." But notice that Isaiah said by the Holy Spirit, his name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, there's something about names. Names should be chosen with great thought and prayerfulness. And, you know, I often feel sorry for some kids who have parents who just put some silly name on them because it sounded good. I remember when I was in high school, there were some friends in my town. And, you know, we normally called each other by our nicknames. And there was one young boy who was my brother's age. And so my brother's 5 years younger than me. So when I was in college, my brother was still in high school. And I asked Rodney one time about a fella that we all knew, and his name was Slapjack. That's what we always called him. And I never knew what Slapjack's real name was. Now, I asked him one day, I said, "Rodney, I said, what's Slapjack's real name?" He looked at me and smiled. He said, "Slapjack." I said, "Get out of here. You got to be kidding me." He said, "Nope. His mother named him Slapjack." Now, I felt sorry for that kid. I really did. But names speak of character and purpose. And so please don't slap a name or allow your kids to slap a name on a child that really doesn't speak of character and purpose. Or, in this case, Isaiah, some 800 years prior, was speaking of Christ's purpose, his character, and his authority. Now, I just want to share just for a few minutes and talk about the three ways that Jesus got his name. There are three ways that Jesus got his name, and it's important for us to understand those three ways. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Luke, chapter 1. It's important that we know this because it'll have great bearing on our relationship with God when we understand the three ways Jesus got his name. Remember, Isaiah said his name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom, which literally means the Captain of our peace. Now, last week, if you remember, we also dealt with Luke chapter 1 and the encounter that Mary had with the angel Gabriel. How she received God's word and she gave birth. Now, we also spent time focusing on the fact that one of the things that Gabriel said to her was a phrase that's literally in the Greek a double negative, for with God nothing, no word shall be unable or shall not be unable. Literally, it means that no word from God is void of power. So if that's the case, then every word from God is full of power. Remember that? But here's one of the things that the angel said to her. Verse 31, Luke chapter 1. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now, Jesus is the English version. In the original manuscripts, which were written in Greek, it is Iesus. And, of course, Iesus is the Greek version of the Hebrew word Yeshua, or, as we translate it, Joshua. You remember Joshua in the Old Testament, who helped Moses? Well, Joshua was the one who led them into the promised land. Moses led them in the wilderness for 40 plus years. Are you with me? But it was a generation that had to die off because of unbelief before Yeshua or Joshua led them into the promise. And so in the same manner, when the angel says to Mary, you will call his name Yeshua or Jesus, as we convert it to English, what he was talking about was the authority and the purpose of his name. Because he would lead us into God's promise. And so that's why she said, you will call his name Jesus or Iesus. And I'm sure Mary understood Hebrew, not Greek. And he told her, you'll call his name Yeshua. Now the word Yeshua in Hebrew literally means Jehovah Deliverer or Jehovah Salvation. So the first way Jesus received his name is it was bestowed upon him. The angel said, you will call his name Jesus. Amen? The second way Jesus received his name was through obedience. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Most of you know the scripture. Philippians chapter 2. And we'll spend a few moments here. In Philippians chapter 2, we'll begin with verse 7. Here's the second way that Jesus got his name. Verse 7. Notice this. Speaking of the exalted Christ, go back to verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know that's a mouthful. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know what the Lord is telling us through that verse? We should have the same mindset, attitude that Jesus had. Boy, that's a stretch for a lot of people. Notice, let's see what his mindset and attitude was. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now that's an old English phrase. It simply means this, that even though Jesus was equal with God, he didn't account it as some great thing. Are you with me? But notice his attitude. But made himself of no reputation, and taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him, and watch this, and given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those things in heaven and those things on earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So notice that Jesus took upon him the form of a man. Many theologians stumble over the life and ministry of Jesus as they struggle with his humanity and his divinity. And there are certain theologians and people who mainly believe that God doesn't speak to us anymore. We call them cessationalists. That once the King James Version of the Bible was written, everything was perfect. Well, I got news for you. That's not what Paul was talking about. And there are probably many of them of the same group who believe that, well, you know, God doesn't do miracles anymore. Jesus doesn't heal anymore. Well, when you point them to the scripture and you ask them the question, why did Jesus go about preaching, teaching, and healing? They'll give you this patent answer. Well, Jesus healed to prove his divinity. But yet the scripture bears out something totally different. Even though he was the Son of God, the scripture says, one translation says, he laid aside his mighty power and glory and became as a man. And he humbled himself and took upon the fashion of a man. Jesus lived his life on the earth just like you do. The only advantage he had was that he wasn't born in sin. That sin nature wasn't in him, so he was neutral. He could have gone either way. But he chose through obedience to follow after the things of God. Jesus walked, lived, and ministered. Listen to me carefully. As a man anointed with the Holy Spirit. He did not live, walk, and minister as God. He lived, walked, and ministered as a man anointed with the Holy Spirit. That's why Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's why when Jesus would heal someone many times, he would say, shh, don't tell anybody. Now, if he's trying to prove something, you'd want everybody to know. Are y'all still out there? But Jesus made himself of no reputation. It's amazing when you read about the way he conducted himself. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 says, there came a leper kneeling unto him, beseeching him, saying unto him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, said, I will, be clean. And he put his hands on him, and immediately his leprosy disappeared. And then he said this, don't say anything to anybody, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But they went out and began to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. But he had to stay in desert places. And you know what? They came to him from every quarter. See, what most people want is, I want them to come to me from every quarter. Well, if you want what Jesus had, do what Jesus did. He said, shh, don't tell anybody. He wasn't trying to prove anything. He was more concerned with that man than he was his reputation. And if you want to have the same mindset as Jesus, you'll be more concerned about other people than you will your own reputation. You'll be more concerned about other people than your own stuff. If you'll take care of people, God will take care of you. Are you with me? If you'll do what Jesus did, be obedient. Now notice, because he was obedient, even to the point of dying on the cross, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. So now we see the second way Jesus obtained his name. It was through obedience. And that name has ultimate authority. Notice this, that every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. You know the name of Jesus has authority in three worlds. Heaven, earth, and hell. All have to bow to that name. Now, when you understand how Jesus obtained his names, that name will become more precious to you. That name has power when you speak it. I could teach another lesson here about the power of attorney, but I won't. Jesus gave us legal right to use his name in prayer and in service. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. That name has authority in heaven. And Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. That name has authority in the earth. And if by chance you happen to be dealing with the forces of darkness, don't worry about it. They got to bow their knee too. Are you with me? That's when it gets to be fun. I've often told a story about a demon-possessed man in Tulsa when I was working nights, minding my own business, and a fellow walked in the front door, and my partner that I worked with, Wilson Seabone Petty, scared him. Fellow walked in the front door and said, "Hey man, you believe in voodoo?" Oh, Will backed up. He said, "You believe in voodoo?" Will backed up, pointed in the corner. He said, "You need to talk to him." Pointed at me. Will wanted nothing to do with it. "You need to talk to him." And so the fella came back at me, and I thought, well, he ain't going to crap me back here in the corner. So I met him halfway. I said, "Come here." He said, "You believe in voodoo?" I said, "Come here. I'm going to cast the devil out of you." He said, "What?" I said, "I'm going to cast the devil out of you. Come here." He turned around and ran out the door. You say, "Oh, Pastor Young, that's scary." No, not scary at all. I've got a name that I can use that has authority and power in three worlds. What am I afraid of? Certainly not him, some confused ding-dong guy, you know. Well, we got to have compassion for people. So Jesus received his name three ways. Number one, it was bestowed upon him. Number two, he obtained his name through obedience. Let's look at the third way. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. The third way Jesus received his name, we find in verse 15. And that is by conquest. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Now, the word that you find here, where Jesus triumphed, the word triumph is an old ancient word that literally refers to what we call today a parade. And it literally means a triumphant parade. And it comes from the thought from the ancient world that when a king had conquered another king and kingdom, then he would spoil that kingdom. And we're going to talk about the word spoil here in a minute. And then he would take all of the spoils, all of the stuff that they got from the other kingdom, and they would put in chains the king and all of his men, and then they would march back home into their home city, leading a triumphant parade. And in that parade, you would see the defeated king in chains walking down the street. And you would see all the stuff that was obtained from his kingdom marching behind them in carts and chariots. And so that's where the concept of the military parade came from. You with me? That's what they did in the ancient world. After they spanked you, they'd put you in chains and march you down the street so you'd be a spectacle. That's the thought that's conveyed here. And when the scripture says he spoiled principalities and powers, that word spoiled literally means that he stripped them. He stripped them. In other words, he took away from them everything that they possessed, and it also means to disarm. And so when Jesus was raised from the dead, he spoiled principalities and powers. He stripped them of their authority and took away their weapons. Now, you remember what John said when he was John the Apostle, the aged man, probably around the age of 93 years old, the emperor Domitian tried to kill him and couldn't. And so he banished him to the Isle of Patmos. What a horrible way to treat an old man. And on the Isle of Patmos, John wrote and he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and I heard a voice behind me. And when I turned around, I saw him whose voice sounded like thunder and many waters." And he said, "When I saw him, his head and his hair was white like wool. His eyes were like fire. He had brass on his chest and his feet looked like fine brass. And he said this, I am he who was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Amen. He said, I'm the Alpha and Omega. That simply means I'm the first, I'm the last. Well, guess what? He's everything in between. And he also said this, and I have the keys of hell and death. Where did he get them from? He stripped them from Satan when he conquered principalities and powers. And so when he said, I have the keys of hell and death, what he was saying is that I now possess the ability to open it and close it. In other words, ultimate authority belongs to me. So those people that Isaiah wrote to who sat in darkness and saw a great light, he was referring to what would happen because of Jesus' resurrection. No longer are we subject to the kingdom of darkness. We don't live there anymore. Are you with me? Because of that name and what he did, we can walk in life and light, and we don't have to fear anything the kingdom of darkness has to offer, including death. Are you with me? You know why many people live their lives in bondage? Fear. You ever wonder why some people don't fly? Now, if that's you, don't raise your hand. Just smile, look straight ahead. Nobody will know. I met a fellow the other day. He said, oh, I'm afraid of flying. No, you're not. You're afraid of dying. That's what you're afraid of. He said, oh, I don't fly. I don't get on. Well, and I said to him, I said, hey, a plane's just a bus with wings. You know? It's not the flying part he's afraid of. It's the dying part he's afraid of. Plane's safer than a bus. You don't have to fear anything. Amen? Because of what Jesus accomplished, because of that wonderful name. He obtained that name because it was bestowed upon him. He obtained that name because of his obedience. And he obtained that name because he conquered the forces of darkness through conquest. And because of what he did, you can live life free from fear and follow his purpose and his plan for you. I'm telling you, if you only had a glimpse of what God desires for your life, it would blow your mind. God's plans and purposes for you are always bigger, better, and bolder than anything you've imagined. Amen? But the only way we'll find it out is by having a thorough working knowledge of this new covenant that we live in. Isn't that good? Listen, Jesus is no longer a little baby. He's no longer a little child laying in a manger. But he is the risen King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is the beginning. He is the end. But he has come so that we can have life and share that life with others. Amen. There are certain things that belong to you as a child of God. You'll never find them out any other way, but they're revealed in the covenant. Amen? So let's have the same mindset that he had. You know? The only reputation I want is that I do my best to follow after the things of God. Amen? That I'm a good husband, that I'm a good father, that I'm a good pastor. Other than that, I don't care what you think. I just want to fulfill my purpose and do it his way. Amen? All of us should have the same desire. Amen? Did you learn anything today? Glory to God. Let's all stand. Hey, if you're watching us by television, thanks for tuning in. You can check us out online. We have a website, mgcconline.org. Online, you'll find over 350 messages that you can download or listen to at your convenience. So check us out online, mgcconline.org. And until next week, keep feeding your faith on God's Word. Bless you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for what Christ coming has done. It's brought us life. It's brought us liberty. It's brought us freedom. We're so thankful, for He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I'll add everything in between. Thank You for Your goodness and grace. Thank You for Your hand is upon Your people for good, not only to bless them, but to make them a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Have a great Christmas. There are refreshments downstairs. Be blessed.